Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, not going to lie, I was starting to get mad after the first segment, and I will be mad again. It's a Reaction Tuesday here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610 after the Texans fall to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in comeback fashion, 20-19. But every time I hear that intro, it makes me laugh.
It sounds like the Texans got the whiff of that or whatever.
Get a whiff of that.
Yeah. Well, now I'm mad again. Thanks for that, Fig.
Take a nose hit off of that.
Appreciate you doing that.
Whoa.
We're reacting all day long to the Texans now being 0-2 amongst some of the worst teams in the league. And that's very
frustrating.
You're
in the same sentence as the Browns.
Yeah, that
oh,
is.
Oh, man. You didn't,
God,
need to
you didn't
do
have
that.
To say it that way. Yeah. You really didn't. One of the questions I've been kind of sitting with is, just on a day-to-day, right, you're reacting. Do you feel, are you more upset about the offense or the defense? That's one of the things that I'm thinking about. And so with that in mind, we turn to the phone line, 713-572-4610. Chris from D.C. is on the phone. Chris, what's popping, man?
Yo, what's good, y'all? So last night watching this game, and I have a 10-year-old son. It's going to be 10-year-old son, man. He's like, man, the Texans are getting cooked. I'm like.
Oh, man, the phone line. The phone line got cooked. Chris, you still
oh,
there?
Oh, man.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So the recipe for, like, my team, the Texans, getting cooked. I'm talking to my son, a Texans fan, but obviously they can't do it because, number one, they lack situational awareness. We see time and time again with this team that there's always situational awareness happening. Like, you know, if you play a team who got a good interior presence, hit the sucker outside. We heard, hey, how much Ariante Ursary can, like a wall, he can wall off defenders. We saw in the preseason, they don't show any misdirection, no counter punches to take the run outside with Nick Chubb. Then you see about these rookies. Hey, Jaden Higgins had a good catch, but then, you know, it's non-existent. And every single time when we know he's supposed to have it, there were two things I want to judge Nick Kelly on, which we didn't get from Bobby Slowe last year, was red zone. And also when certain plays, play calls need to be called. And in that sequence of when you get the ball from a good punt return, a punt block, you still can't do anything with it. And it just showed that this team still lacks a certain accountability, like it's ho-hum. And my God, like, I know that we use the word swarm all the time, but we need to put swarm in tackle because this team doesn't realize that you have something called arms. Wrap up.
All right, there's a lot of good stuff there. The thing that I feel strongly about, I'm glad he brought up, you know, Nick Kelly, and again, there's all kinds of things, but Nick Kelly, did you ever feel like he was calling something to set up something else? To maybe, you know, give this offense, this defense a look, and then maybe come back to it was almost like, I've got plays, I'm going to run them. It was never, you know, setting something up, you know, building one moment, you know, momentum with a deep ball and then trying to counter that with something, running the ball, you know, here to set up something there. It just never felt like he was setting up something. He had that design.
I think I can't say that I felt that way. However, I'm going to be entirely honest. I don't think I was viewing the game in that way. Like, mm-hmm. I think I was very much in the moment. I think you can actually attest to this because early on in the game, I'm like, man, Woody Marks has been, you know, really reacting well to what's in front of him. And it's like, Woody Marks had one carry, sir. You were reacting to a single solitary
Calm
play.
Calm down, cowboy.
All right. I know what that means now, so I'm going to need you to be careful. We're going to have to go outside. You know? But, yeah, I was very much in the moment and not thinking about how they were building on one another. So I'll have to, in rewatching, I'll have to see, was there, like, things that maybe built upon one another? However, it does feel like mm-hmm. that would be the case. That feels spiritually correct for Nick Kelly because that felt like a game plan that was at least called by a dude who was in his first time doing mm-hmm. this. We were asking the question, shout out to our guy Brandon Scott on Friday, will this team decide to run outside or will they run inside mm-hmm. as they are kind of want to do as this system seems to look? When you got big old number 50 Vita Vea in the middle, and then you've got edges that look like they're more susceptible mm-hmm. to run to the outside, will they run outside the tackles as opposed to inside the tackles? Well, I have some numbers for you, friends, as I often do. Looking at Next Gen Stats, the Texans were the fifth highest rushers inside the tackles in week 2 at 63% of their rushes being inside as opposed to outside. And that
tracks.
It just game plan offense where? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? Like that was the thought that I have just looking at that when you looked at running the football. And so D'Amico Ryan's getting up to the podium and saying, we didn't run the ball well, we didn't get pushed. Well, no bleep, right? Yeah. You have an offensive line that is guys that I don't necessarily anticipate are going to go and move, especially Vita Vea, and then you're running it directly into those spaces. That didn't feel like good game planning to me.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
All right, let's go to the phone line again. I'm seeing a familiar name here, Dom from New Jersey. What's happening, Dom?
To the organization, you might have fooled the rest of the fan base, but you didn't fool Dom from Jersey. You lied to us all off season. Watching this offense is seriously like watching a car crash happen in slow motion. This is the same operation as last year, possibly worse. The offensive line was horrific last year. So I have a good idea. Let's promote Cole Popovich to the full-time O-line coach. What sense does that make? Nick Taylor, your play calls are dry, and enough with Dare Ogunbowale. He had one of the worst 10-snap game performances I've ever seen. When you put him in on the goal line, everyone knows it's a pass. Even David Culley would have known that's a pass. D'Amico, your clock management's gotten worse somehow. The end of that game was embarrassing. Casario, this roster feels incomplete. Honestly, it just flat-out sucks. Let's be honest. CJ, terrible. His demeanor's horrible. Ball placement specialist, my rear end. Will Anderson had 10 pressures last night, J-Lo. 10. He only had one sack. I can't help but to feel like if he was chasing Stroud, he would have had 6 or 7. This feels worse than the Culley era. Fire Casario. Fire Miko. We're reaching clean house level here, boys. Love you guys.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, great stuff as always from Dom. Love that guy. But boy, so much there that I'm glad he brought up as well. The listeners have been coming through big time. Foremost, you know, the pressures of Will Anderson versus the pressures allowed by this offensive line. You know, Will Anderson was getting there. The quarterback was on time, Baker Mayfield, got rid of the ball, knew when to tuck it and run, big fourth and 16-yard run on fourth down on the decisive drive. That's confidence, Reggie. That's knowing that you feel good about what you're doing in the offense, and that speaks to what C.J. Stroud does not feel good about. It's obvious. Dom is 100% right. There is something going on with C.J. Stroud, and just between the ears, belief in the system, and I'll go back to what I said in the first segment. I think he got what he wanted, but by getting it, he didn't know what he was getting. He didn't know that this offense was going to kind of handcuff him.
Monkey paw situation?
Yeah, yeah.
That's exactly what you're saying? Are you familiar with the monkey paw, right? Like the whole idea is it's a magical...
Be careful what you wish for kind of thing.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You can wish for it, but then it'll come with unintended consequences.
Exactly.
That's kind of what you're setting up here for C.J. Stroud in this offense.
Yeah.
I do wonder, and I mentioned this, I think I was talking about it with Seth just this morning, but I think I've said it before. I wonder when C.J. Stroud at some point goes... All right, the constraints of this is all fine and good, but now I do the thing where I've learned the rules and now I break them sometimes in order to make some things go. Because it does feel like that's necessary, especially for any system. And I bet money on it that when we talk about Tom Brady and how he worked in the system, there was a number of times where it was like, system be damned, I'm doing this because
sure.
I believe it. And I think that's a different, that's maybe one of the levels that you need to get to see that next level. However, I know that there's going to be people that are looking around and saying, does CJ have it within him to break those and make the right decisions outside of those? That remains to be seen. I did want to mention something that our guy Dom talked about because there's a number of things that he brought up. When it comes to Pop and this offensive line, I actually don't know how much I blame the offensive line coach for how this goes. And maybe I'm crazy for doing that. This felt more like about talent than it did about like the actual. It seemed like they were largely in the right places. They just kind of got beat a decent amount.
No, I am with you.
Or couldn't pick up a blitz that was really tough.
And you know what? This is Bash Nick Casario Day, and I don't think too many people other than Nick himself are going to complain about that. But it is him. It is the way that he constructed this. That being said,
someone on the text line asked, "Why does Casario have so much personnel decision?" Because he's the general manager.
He's the general manager. But the problem I feel is the influence he's having on the offense. And as much as I'm with you, it's hard to blame Cole Popovich because it's a personnel thing, it's a talent thing. He's also a Caserio guy. You know, he's also a John Carroll, and I think he went John Carroll, but he's definitely a New England guy.
Yeah, it's not like they brought in this high-ranked offensive line coach from another organization, and it's like, give him a little time or the talent ain't there. Right. He was here, and they promoted him.
I do want to ask you this because I was sitting, you know, we almost have pseudo-assigned seats, not really assigned seats, but everybody sits in the same place. And one of my
like a classroom.
One of my neighbors is Sean Bajani, and I have great joy talking to him, host on Area 45. You can hear them in the evenings here on Sports Radio 610. And Bajani was talking about, because he mentioned, Dom did, Will Anderson Jr. getting a career-high 10 pressures in this game, which actually is the most of any pass rusher through 2 weeks. Nobody in these other in these two games through the season has had 10 pass rush pressures like Will Anderson Jr. had. But it felt like at one point during the game, their mentality of the defensive line switched from trying to kind of contain Baker to trying to get back and get that sack. And it felt like that was indicative of a larger defensive thing where they got too hungry and they didn't stay disciplined. And that's when seeing Baker start getting runs and be able to go and make a big fourth and 10 conversion for 16 yards. That is one of the probably three instances where you should have gotten off the field.
No, absolutely it is. But D'Amico Ryans was facing a first-year offensive play caller as well.
The one thing, people have been mentioning that, and you're right, and I've even forgotten the gentleman's name.
I mean, I know
name,
he was Liam Cohen's guy, but there is there's Nick Haley was Sean McVay's guy.
Well, there's continuity there in the system.
There
I think
is.
There's a little bit of a difference there. There's continuity there. This is the same system that they were running, just a different dude at the helm. I'm sure he's putting his different spice on what they're doing. This is an entirely different system in Houston, and that's part of also part of the conversation that we need to have about the decision makers. Early parts of the season, those decisions are heavily impacting what happens. And right now, what we're seeing is an offense that does not look up to standard, and a defense that, interestingly enough, has kind of looked less than what we expected of them. And I do wonder whether the expectations were even.
And we got to get into your question that you opened this segment with. We will. Are you more frustrated with the defense or the offense? Spoiler alert, mine is the offense because of everything I've been talking about. They just completely bleep the bed in terms of talent. But there is a lot of frustration, especially with the way they're getting gashed.
Yeah, we'll keep hitting that. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. A frustrating reaction Tuesday after the Texans fall 20-19. Coming up next, let's kind of feel this out. We do still have a question of the day, as we always do, and this time, what's a way that you low-key insult someone? 713-572-4610. We'll do that next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.